Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to Criminalia, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Hello, and welcome to the third season of Criminalia. This season, we're exploring the lives and motivations of some of the most notorious imposters throughout history. I'm Maria Trimarchi.
And I'm Holly Fry. One of the most infamous imposters in Scandinavian history, which is an area we haven't gotten too deep in this season, is the so-called False Margaret. 10 years after the real Margaret Maid of Norway's death, a Norwegian woman claimed Margaret's identity. We aren't actually going to start by talking about False Margaret, though. We're going to start a little further back, at what we'll call the beginning, and that is with Margaret's grandfather, Alexander III, King of Scotland, and how his death was really the catalyst for this whole story.
So I'm going to do a quick little warning here that during this episode, we're going to be talking about pregnancy loss and miscarriage. Not a lot, but it is going to come up. So please be aware and please make sure that you feel safe while you're listening to us. And with that, let's get back to Alexander. Alexander ruled as King of Scots from 1249 when he was just 8 years old until his accidental death in 1286 at the age of 45. In 1251, when he was 10 and she was 11 years old, Alexander married Margaret of England, the daughter of King Henry III of England. So one of the things actually you're going to see happen in this episode is we have a lot of Margarets. So we're going to try to keep them separate from each other and try not to confuse them. So, okay. During their marriage, they had three children, Alexander, Prince of Scotland, David of Scotland, Prince of Scotland, and Margaret of Scotland. The Queen, Margaret of England, died in 1275, well before her granddaughter was born. Margaret of Scotland became the mother of Margaret, Maid of Norway, in 1283, and by 1284, Alexander had lost all three of his children, too.
After the deaths of his children, the king reasonably began to worry about who was going to rule after him. In 1284, Alexander asked the estates to recognize his granddaughter Margaret, Maid of Norway, as his heir presumptive. The estates during the Middle Ages and in this particular scenario were made up of members of the nobility and royalty. Their power came from what they called feudal privileges. Feudal privileges, to be very clear, were not in any way, shape, or form what you would consider a privilege to the peasants. Their privilege left them poor and exploited by the nobility and expected to both pay taxes and feudal dues. Note here, too, that more than 90% of the entire European population was, at this time, composed of rural peasants. The clergy and the nobility, on the other hand, enjoyed that income from those feudal privileges. So while it was not a privilege to the peasants, it certainly was a boon for the nobles. They also had their own privileges, we're air quoting that, to deal with. In their case, though, they were exempt from paying taxes. There were three estates, and they made up the Scottish Parliament.
In addition to asking the estates to recognize his granddaughter as his heir presumptive, King Alexander III also decided to try for a male heir. He had lived as a widow for a decade after his wife Margaret of England had died, and he was ready to remarry.
His second marriage was purely contractual, not uncommon among royal marriages at the time. It's something we've talked about many times on this show. And he got married to Yolande de Dreux, daughter of Robert III, Count of Dreux. That was on November the 1st of 1285. Yolande was queen for only a very short time, from late 1285 until the king's death in 1286.
It was a very foggy and very stormy night when Alexander died. He was riding from Edinburgh to join his wife at Kinghorn, which is about 11 miles distance, but in the darkness he became separated from his party and he never made it to his destination. He was found the next morning, believed to have fallen from his horse and broken his neck. Immediately following his death, the queen announced she was pregnant. That news meant Alexander had an unborn heir on the way.
So if Yolande gave birth to the heir apparent, no one could stand between that child and the throne. But this is where that sad matter that Maria mentioned at the top of the show comes in. Yolande's pregnancy ended. It is unclear exactly what happened. There are certainly people who have believed that this pregnancy was a hoax, but it has also been put forward that, in fact, the baby was simply stillborn. The devastating end of this pregnancy, again, if that pregnancy had been a real one, meant either way that Alexander's granddaughter Margaret, Maid of Norway, had now transitioned. She was not presumptive heir. She was going to be the rightful heir. And that was, as we said, something that he had secured with the estates 2 years earlier.
Margaret, Maid of Norway, ascended to the throne on March 19th, 1286, when she was just shy of 3 years old and living in Norway. There was no adult really ruling Scotland at this time. A group called the Guardian Council was elected by Parliament in 1286 after Alexander's death to govern the kingdom until such time as Margaret, the heir presumptive, was old enough to do so on her own.
We're going to take a quick break here for a word from a sponsor, and when we're back, we will talk about how Margaret, Maid of Norway's death, deeply impacted Scotland. Hey, everybody, it's Holly. Listen, I've been doing stuff on stage since I was a kid, which means that I have been doing my makeup since I was a kid. And I can turn out a look when I need to, but on my day-to-day, I really like to keep it a little more relaxed and low-key. I don't have time for a full face most of the time. But that also means that Thrive Cosmetics can have me covered no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm doing something on stage, like I have an appearance or a live show, or I'm just running to the grocery store. Something in their line is perfect. And what I really love and what's important to me is that they are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free. And to me, cruelty-free is very important in the cosmetics I use. I mentioned that I've been doing my makeup for a long time. I've gotten older in that time. And one of the things that I've done to refresh my look is switch over to their Brilliant Eye Brighteners and use something like a rose gold shade to really like go all around my eye and then just blend it out and get a daytime smoky look. It makes me look a little more youthful and more refreshed. And it's just easy as pie. And it means that I don't have to mess with a whole ton of products. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/criminalia. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com /Criminalia for 10% off your first order.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Welcome back to Criminalia. 13 claimants came forward for the crown after Margaret's death, but only one burned at the stake.
Okay, we're going to do a quick family tree recap. Margaret, Maid of Norway, was born in April of 1283. She was the daughter of King Eric II of Norway and Margaret of Scotland, Queen of Norway. Margaret of Scotland was the daughter of King Alexander III, which is how he is Margaret, Maid of Norway's grandfather, who managed this whole setup so that she would inherit the throne.
Exactly. He is the beginning. But the family tree with the same names is a little bit confusing, so thank you for that. So we don't actually have a lot of information about Margaret's childhood. In the 13th century, though, it was pretty rare to keep records of royal children or any children, really. We do know the queen died while giving birth to her daughter, and the queen was buried in Christchurch in Bergen, Norway. We do also know that Margaret, Maid of Norway, was raised in Norway and lived with her father before she set sail for Scotland, which was a country she had never even been to, yet she already ruled.
Around September of 1290, Margaret boarded her father's ship, and her voyage away from Norway and to her new life in Scotland began. The Bishop of Bergen was her chaperone, and it's likely she had other attendants. She was a royal, after all, that would have been a natural situation. Her arrival was greatly anticipated at Scone Palace. Scone Palace is a castle with a colorful history that reaches back probably more than 1,500 years. It is also spectacularly beautiful. It's famous for being the historic crowning site of the Kings of Scots, and it's the home of the Stone of Destiny, which is also known as the Coronation Stone. Ancient kings of Scotland were officially recognized as monarchs there, including Macbeth, the real one, not the Shakespeare character, who was crowned around 1031, all the way up to Charles II, who was the last to be crowned at Scone in 1651.
During Margaret's voyage, the ship actually came under siege by heavy storms, and Margaret became very ill. Blown off course, the ship landed at St. Margaret's Hope on Orkney, off the northeastern coast of Scotland. On September 26th, 1290, Margaret died at age 7 before she could be crowned, and before she could actually see the country that she was queen of. Her cause of death is almost always reported as the effects of seasickness, but there's also speculation she may have died from complications of food poisoning. She was returned to Norway, where her father confirmed the identity of her body before she was buried with her mother in Bergen.
This little girl really had quite a big impact for having lived for really so few years. Margaret, Maid of Norway, was the last of the line of Scottish rulers descended from King Malcolm III, the first of a dynasty of kings who ruled Scotland for more than two centuries.
Margaret's death not only ended a dynasty, it also began the fight for the Scottish crown, from both inside and outside the country's borders. There were 13 claimants, but jockeying for control of Scotland had actually started even before her untimely death. She was, after all, just 3 years old and was not in Scotland when she became queen. There are some histories that leave her off the list of rulers entirely because she was never formally crowned. Many people saw this as an opportunity to fill a power vacuum, though, by arranging a marriage.
So the candidates with the strongest claims to the crown were nobleman John Balliol, Robert the Bruce, John Hastings, and Floris V, Count of Holland. In particular, Balliol and Bruce looked very promising. In 1290, when Margaret was still alive and expected to take the throne, the Treaty of Bergen was drawn up. This was said to end competing claims between Clan Bruce and House of Balliol, as their rivalry was really heating up.
Yeah, but it really just wasn't all about their rivalry. It was a treaty to contract Margaret's hand in marriage. The calculating politician in King Edward I of England supported Margaret as ruler, in part because he wanted his son, an infant named Edward and the future King Edward II of England, to marry her. And not because he thought that they would make a great match. Like we said, that doesn't happen very much in this period of time. So with that marital arrangement, Edward hoped he'd made the right political move to make him the king who united England and Scotland.
This treaty also established how the two kingdoms, Scotland and England, would be governed after the marriage. The Scots wanted to ensure their political and constitutional identity, and they were not super-duper interested in this whole unification concept.
Right, and he just keeps shoving it at them. So it was agreed that Edward, upon his marriage to Margaret, would become Edward II, King of Scots, and Margaret would remain as Queen Regent of Scotland. In turn, Margaret would become Queen Consort of England, and Edward would remain King Edward II. Their heirs would inherit both kingdoms, but the guardians reiterated, the Kingdom of Scotland would not be united with the Kingdom of England.
This all sounds kind of confusing, so it might help to think of it in modern business terms. I know that sounds like a weird comparison, but come with me on this journey.
Yes.
It is as though the head executives of two companies got married. It would be expected that they would each have some influence and input on each other's work, but that their companies would remain separate entities, although possibly friendly. That would bring up some ethics issues in business, but in the realm of historical royal alliances through marriages, it's all good if everyone involved is on the same page. So all in agreement, this deal was accepted and signed by everyone involved, except for those very, very young people, Margaret and Edward.
Right, the two people who are actually involved.
At the center of the whole thing.
The Guardian Council agreed to the marriage proposal, but continued to assert that Scotland would remain independent. They wrote, we quote, that Scotland would persist separate and divided from England according to its rightful boundaries, free in itself and without subjugation. An independent Scotland wasn't really, though, what Edward I was looking for. As a king, he decided to just sort of ignore all of the clauses he didn't like in that treaty.
We'll work this out later. It's all, let's have a wedding.
Yeah, right? I want cake.
But let's get back to this rivalry among the claimants. Fearing war between two rivals to the crown, Robert the Bruce again and John Balliol, the Guardian Council actually asked King Edward I to intervene. Turns out he might not have been the best choice for this, at least not politically, because the king took this as his opportunity to take control of Scotland, which he had been wanting to do from the beginning. Edward did agree to help with one condition, and you know, based on what we said, this is not going to be an altruistic condition. He said he would do it if the Guardians made him Lord Paramount of Scotland, the feudal superior of the realm. That basically means he wanted to be the monarch who could consider all of England and Scotland as his property. Even if he may not have been recognized as their ruler, he still owns all the land, so...
First, who cares at that point, right? He's like,
there's a de facto power situation in that mix.
So, as you may imagine, the Guardians didn't like any of this, but it was really too late for them, and Edward's plan was already set in motion. Taking on the role of Lord Paramount of Scotland, the king kicked things off with an order that every Scottish royal castle now fell under his control. And most of the moneyed families in Scotland had significant land in England as well, and agreeing with the king made it so much easier for those families to just keep their estates in both countries. The Guardians and the nobility swore allegiance to Edward because of that.
It was when Edward expected Scottish nobility to finance and provide military service in England's war against France that the Scots got a little irked and decided to take action. A newly formed group of 12 guardians sent Scottish emissaries to France to discuss just how they were going to deal with King Edward I. An agreement was made between Scotland and France called the Auld Alliance, which, boiled down, stated that if France was attacked, Scottish forces would come to their aid. The French agreed to do the same if the situation were reversed. The Franco-Scottish Treaty, signed by John, King of Scots, and King Philip IV of France in 1295, in opposition to Edward I of England, was the first alliance between the countries.
If you imagined that Edward, upon discovering that there was an alliance between Scotland and France, retaliated, then you would be right. He invaded Scotland in 1296, and he forced John, King of Scots, to abdicate the throne.
So you've probably noticed we haven't even mentioned an imposter yet. We are getting there, we promise, but we had to lay all this groundwork so you kind of know what's going on when she finally hits the scene. Before we get to that part of the story, we're going to take a break for a word from our sponsors.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Criminalia. Finally, let's meet our imposter, False Margaret.
So Margaret, maid of Norway's death, plunged the country into years of chaos and led directly to the First Scottish War of Independence.
We mentioned earlier that 13 people came forward to claim their right to the Scottish throne. There was a process to it, which I was kind of surprised at, actually. Each person needed to provide proof. Claimants were required to produce evidence supporting their right to the crown, and then each claim was assessed by, you know who, King Edward I. And remember, before the break, we mentioned the Guardians were having quite a hard time choosing their next leader and had asked him to arbitrate. The time when Edward was deciding who had the strongest connection to the Scottish throne was called the Great Cause.
On November 7th, 1292, Edward I, in a court of 104 auditors, 24 of whom he had appointed himself, decided that John Balliol had the strongest claim to the throne based on his lineage. John was the grandson of David, Earl of Huntingdon's eldest daughter, and the family line was connected to King Alexander III. Robert Bruce was also a descendant of David, Earl of Huntingdon, but of his second daughter, and that meant that Robert was second to John.
Edward also factored another thing into his choice. He wanted to pick how easily he thought it would be to manipulate the next King of Scots, and John was crowned king at Scone 13 days later. The beginning of his rule ended the 6 years of the Guardian's governance of Scotland.
Shortly after John's inauguration, King Edward made his move. The new king quickly accepted his role as a puppet king to Edward's rule, and under Edward's oversight, Scotland was invaded by England. Not too long after Margaret's death and immediately after John's rule, Robert the Bruce, who was considered one of the most famous warriors of his generation, led Scotland during the First War of Scottish Independence. It would turn out that each rival would be king. Robert was King of Scots until his death in 1329. But of the 13 claimants, which is a lot,
yes,
they are the only two who managed to make it to the throne.
Right, but there was one claimant who was unlike all the others. A woman who became known as False Margaret.
A lot about False Margaret has been lost to time, including what her real name was. The story, as told, goes like this. In 1300, 1 year after the death of Margaret's father, King Eric II of Norway, a woman landed in the port city of Bergen on a ship from Lübeck, Germany. And she claimed that she was Margaret, maid of Norway.
So understandably, a lot of people in Bergen were a little skeptical of her story. She had not died at sea, she explained. She had been exiled to Germany for reasons that are actually very unclear to us. She had married in Germany while she was there, and she and her husband had decided to come to Norway to claim what she believed was her rightful inheritance.
However, while the people of Bergen were a little prone to lean away from this story, a surprising number of people did support the woman's story, despite two really important and key facts that one would think would mitigate. They're big. Margaret's father had identified his daughter's body shortly after her death. But now that Eric was recently deceased, he couldn't confirm or deny False Margaret's identity. And two, and this is a big one.
Huge.
These two women had a very significant age difference. The real Margaret, maid of Norway, would have been 17 years old in 1300 had she survived. False Margaret was said to be in her 40s, or at least she appeared so.
King Haakon V was king of Norway at that time, and he was also Margaret, maid of Norway's uncle. His brother was King Eric II. We've had a surprising number of family relatives say they recognize imposters as the real deal, like pretty much throughout this whole season. But that is definitely not the case with Uncle Haakon. He didn't believe any part of False Margaret's story, and she was convicted of fraud for masquerading as Margaret, maid of Norway.
So because of the distance this story has in the past, as we already said, we don't know the real name of False Margaret, and we certainly don't know what her motivations were. It's possible she and her husband were hoping to take the throne in an epic ruse. Maybe this was an act they had concocted themselves, or perhaps it was even part of a bigger plan they had hatched with collaborators. But she also might not have even known that she wasn't really in a position to be any kind of powerful leader in this, because she wasn't actually in the line of succession in Norway, which makes any reason for making this claim that much more inscrutable.
Regardless of what prompted False Margaret's claim, it ended rather unsuccessfully and with a very definitive final act. In 1301, she and her husband were both burned at stake. But some reports differ in the manner of their executions, though. So all accounts report that False Margaret was burned at the stake. But her husband may have been burned, but he may also have instead been beheaded. Not that either of those things
neither
are
is a great choice. I wouldn't like to have to pick one.
No, I would not either.
Although there are so many details lost to history, we do know False Margaret and Mary, Maid of Norway, did capture imaginations. Enough that False Margaret and the real Margaret have been woven into Norwegian folklore, appearing as the betrayed princess in ballads and tales.
There's no way to transition from that into our mocktail section, so I'm just going to be totally honest, I can't do it. So Holly.
Oh, but that's what I'm here for.
I know. So I actually wrote down that I was going to make a wobbly transition over to you.
Because the mocktail is called the Betrayed Princess.
Oh, that's excellent.
So here's the thing I knew about Norway already.
Mm-hmm.
Norway is rather famous for its impressive berry crops. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
They've got this agriculture jam down pat. And so strawberries, raspberries, etc., all very, very successfully grown there. And so that got me thinking about a berry drink and a berry base for a drink. And then I thought about a drink that I love and was like, can I make a version of this without alcohol that is super yummy? Have you ever had a strawberry balsamic smash?
No. I've had strawberry balsamic together, but not in a drink.
Oh, delicious.
Okay.
So this is basically a non-alcoholic version of that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to put right into your rocks glass, no ice in there yet, 1 to 2 slices of lime, depending on how much you like your citrus element.
Love it.
1 strawberry, a good sized strawberry, and you want it ripe, a couple of blueberries, and like a nice fat blackberry. And then you're going to put a 1/2 teaspoon of balsamic in there. Get out your muddler or your wooden spoon and just give it a little mash. Again, as I always say with the muddler, don't pulverize. You're just trying to bring everything out. You don't want to make like a gross pulp of the situation. You want to be able to recognize that it started as fruit. So then once you've got that mashed a little bit, you're going to add 1/2 ounce of simple syrup or a vanilla syrup. You know, I always like a vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
A dash of lime juice. Give it a little stir, add in a whole lot of ice, and then you're going to slowly pour your ginger ale over that while you keep stirring it to make sure that fruit integrates with the ginger ale. It becomes this beautiful pinkish red. I also did a version where I threw some basil leaves in the starting before I muddled
really?
It, and that did something very beautiful.
I bet.
You can also, if you don't want to go as sweet as ginger ale, use a club soda instead.
Mm.
And then you can, you know, garnish it with something like a rosemary or a lime or whatever you delight in. But let me tell you how yummy this is. It is so yummy. It's another one that I was like, oh, no, I better make it again and make sure it's the same, which really was like, I just wanted more.
I think that's just called quality control.
Right? That's just called, you know, thoroughness.
Yes. You don't want to give out a bad recipe. You need to be sure it's good. Even if it takes 6 tries.
Right? 6 delicious tries that are all identical. If you want to make a cocktail version with alcohol, there are 2 paths you can take, and you could consider one maybe the what I would call Margaret, Maid of Norway, and the other I would call False Margaret, but they're both delicious, but they have very different flavor profiles. Margaret Maid of Norway preserves kind of the flavor of the mocktail version. You're still getting all of that berry and a little the lime that really like brings that berry flavor to like a really zingy place. But you're going to add 1.5 ounces of just like a very clean vodka. You don't even taste the vodka, which makes it a slightly dangerous drink if you are a drinker. The other version, which will make it a very different thing in its 40s, perhaps, is that you can do instead an 1.5 ounces of a really beautiful gin. I would do one that doesn't have a heavy flavor, but you want that herbal, completely different. Mm-hmm. Like gin brings its own business to the table, right?
Certainly does.
So that's going to shift the drink around quite a bit in terms of its flavor. And you still get all of those yummy berry flavors, but their flavors shift on your tongue a little bit because you're also getting that juniper bite in there. Both very yummy. Absolutely serving this at my next get together. If I can just figure out a way to like muddle, you know, 8 pounds of berries at once, I'll be fine for the day, right?
You need a very big pitcher. I need a very big pitcher.
I got pitchers for days. It's just, it's a lot of fruit. So yes. It's a lot of little pieces and a little more steps than some of the drinks I do, but the payoff is really quite delightful. And then at the bottom, you have all of this beautiful fruit that's had, you know, yummy ginger ale soaking into it, and it just becomes its own little dessert addendum to the situation.
Or in the alternative glass, it's had lovely gin sitting there, just sort of marinating it.
That is the Betrayed Princess. And I specifically wanted to start with ingredients that are more commonly found. I mean, which is not to say those things don't grow in Scotland, but Norway really likes to tout its ability to grow some pretty beautiful fruit. So that's why I want to do that. We didn't get a lot of Norwegian in the story, and I thought that might be a nice way to honor Margaret's early childhood life. I hope in my heart that she spent her brief life in the fields of Norway just picking beautiful ripe fruit right off the vine and eating it. So with that, we will raise our betrayed princesses to you. Thank you once again for spending time with us this week, and every time you stop in, we love it. We will be right here next week once again, and we hope you join us then on Criminalia. Criminalia is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, please visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee.
Visit RiteRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.